Good morning. I'm excited. Are you? Oh, that's good. for those of you who don't know who I am, my name's Stephen. I attend this church with my wife, who actually hasn't been for some time now. She's still unwell. But we've got three of the family here supporting me today. So, and those online as well. It's awesome to have you here. So where have I been lately? Because you haven't probably seen me for a few weeks. I've actually been doing my own missions trip. I've been over in Vanuatu, and with 40 other people, we built two new classrooms for a school over there. So we not only funded it all, we built it all, and it was done within 2 weeks. It was a real blessing to be over there, and it's nice to be back. I actually had this all prepared about 3 weeks ago, and still had to put it together, though. And then Tony messaged me while I was overseas saying, it's been bumped a week. So I thought, oh, praise you, Lord, thank you. So, yeah, I am nervous, but at the end of the day, it's through God. Listen, we were in the prayer room this morning, and I got a beautiful picture of a person doing clay on the wheel, you know. And I think that was just God moulding us, you know, to the shape that he wants us to be in. And it's through him that those hands move. And it's a great sort of message just to stay true to the faith and be moulded by him. Amen, indeed. So I do have notes here so I don't digress too much. I wanted to make sure that nobody leaves halfway through the service. The reason I say this... it's like having the Old Testament without the New Testament. You don't actually get to see where the whole picture goes. And with salvation and with our journey, we have bumps in it. And there's always good that comes out of it. As you say, you know, the moulding of that clay, if you don't wait until the end, you never know what it's going to come up to. But I had a friend that we were travelling to our destination and they rang me. And they said, oh, which way do I go? Do I go left or right? And I jokingly said, I think I said, you go right if you don't want to come with us. Unfortunately, that person only heard you go right and then the phone cut out. So they ended up at a completely different destination. And so this is why I don't want you to leave partway through the service. You need to stay here for the whole thing. So today we're talking on... just two verses. I know the notice says something quite different, but we are only doing two verses. And a bit of trivia here, because I was surprised that I'm only speaking on two verses. You know, when Brian comes up here, he gets a whole book. And, you know, Willie gets at least six or seven verses. I get two. So we all know how many books are in the Bible. We also may know that there's 929 chapters in the Bible. And there's also 31,000 verses in the Bible. So I've got two of those. So we're going to be here a very long time. Okay. So let's look at the two verses today. Talking on Ephesians 5, it's a new in the series, verse 15 and 16. So verse 15. I'm reading from the New King James. Walk in wisdom. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. So what we're going to do here is we're going to break it down. I know it's only two verses, but I have to speak for half an hour. So there we go. No, you'll enjoy it. So we're setting the scene. Paul was writing this while he was in jail. And he was writing to the people of Ephesus. He was encouraging them to stay united in the early church. Ephesians, I'm not sure about other individuals, but I have been in a type of prison myself, not the prison. But when we get into a place that we feel trapped in, it's then that we actually come closer to God. It's then that we're actually brought to our knees. And I think for Paul writing these letters from prison, he would have been on his knees and he would have been absolutely so close to God, trusting in God, trusting that God is there for him. And the words that he has recorded are quite incredible. So what does this mean now? You know, we're 2,000 years on. Is this what Paul wrote in prison? Is it relevant today as it was relevant then? And my opinion is it's actually just as relevant now, if not more relevant now than what it was in those days. We've actually travelled a long way since that time. But I'll break this down. So the verse starts by saying, "See then." So these two words, I mean, we read this stuff all through the Bible. We don't actually break it down and have a look at what it says. "See then," it actually comes as an instruction. It says that Paul is sending you out there to do something. It's not for you to just listen to. It's an instruction to go. "See then that you walk." Now, a lot of people don't understand what the walk means. It's actually not the physical ability to walk. But the Bible's version takes many different understandings. So in Ephesians 5, verse 1, it says, "Walk in love." So therefore, we're imitators of God as dear children. Ephesians 5, 8, "Walk in light. For you were once in darkness, but now you are in light of the Lord. Walk as children of light." Ephesians 5, 15, "Walk in wisdom." So what is our walk? Our walk is the choices that we make in the flesh, how we respond to those choices that we make, the people we come into contact with, how we respond to those people, the spiritual options we choose to follow, our prayer life with our Father in heaven. All of these factors are a simple look at the walk of life that we lead. Proverbs 13:20. "He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed." Galatians 5:16. "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Galatians 5:25. "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." So moving on. It says, "See then that you walk circumspectly." I had to look up the meaning of this word. It's very good. It's only mentioned twice in the Bible. So once in Ephesians 5, and again in Exodus 23, verse 13. "And in all that you have said, I have said to you, be circumspect and make no mention of the name of other gods, nor let it be heard from your mouth." Circumspectly, it's a quality of entrusted and responsibility. It's to be prudent, a person careful to consider all circumstances. This is a tough one, to consider all circumstances and possible outcomes or consequences. Most people need several years to actually get to that point, to understand what it is, and others learn it at a very young age. But to take responsibility and to understand the options as to what you're doing, where it's going to lead to and how it's going to come out is a huge factor. So see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools. I think we all know what fools are. But fools refer to people that have a lack of good sense and judgment. The definition of the word fools actually refers to three people or more. So Christ says, when two or more are gathered, well, fools are when three or more are gathered. I won't go into that too much. I think everybody knows what it is to be a fool. But there's certainly foolish things that we do in life. Last week we heard about Malachi. Nevin was finishing off, and he was sharing about the cows frolicking in the pasture and abounding through the fences. Myself being a farmer, I was not in the option of enjoying cows frolicking through the pastures like that was shared. And there was one particular time that I was outside I saw the cows frolicking in the pasture that they should not be in. And I grabbed the electric fence from one end, and I grabbed it from the other end, and I was transformed into a different person. Meanwhile, the owner of the farm was sitting up having a cup of tea with Nevin. I was foolish because I did not consider all the consequences of my actions. Yeah. All right, so walking circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Now notice Paul here does not say the wise. He refers to people in the sense of already achieving this level of understanding. He says, but as wise. The word wise refers to somebody with wisdom. Now, there are four different versions of wisdom. There is earthly wisdom. This is the wisdom that Satan wants us to embrace. He wants us to exchange heavenly wisdom for earthly wisdom. He wants us to know how important we are in our working life, leaving the family to second best. And I myself am victim to this sort of thing. Last year, it was a very busy year for me. I was working 6 days a week. And I looked forward to Sunday, I must admit. But my family didn't really get me for the other 6 days. I was away a lot. We had to make the choice. So I think when you're walking that type of line and you're taking more on what you're actually looking at and doing rather than actually being with the family, giving your time to family and being blessed by the family and the church as well. We've taken a step back now. It's absolutely wonderful when you turn back towards what the Bible says, turns back towards the Lord. What he can share with us, what he can do through us. It's just incredible. And my men's ministry, or not my men's ministry, the Lord's men's ministry has come through in that time. So now we've actually got a totally different focus. I'm around home a lot more, and it's just an absolute wonderful time. So four types of wisdom. There's the earthly wisdom that I've just shared with. There's also devilish wisdom. And to repel this type of wisdom, Paul tells us to put on the full armor of God. James says that if we resist the devil, he will flee. Peter writes and says to always be on your guard, for the enemy is always on the prowl. Revelation 12:19. So the great dragon was cast out, that the serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world, he was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Family and friends, there is a lot of people out there that follow through with the wrong enemy, or with the enemy. And there are angels out there that are just trying to pull people down and tear them away from their families. In James, we learn the difference between heavenly and demonic wisdom. James 3:13-16. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that the works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. The wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are. That's the bad stuff. Now we'll get on to the good stuff. So intellectual wisdom, the skill of living life as God intended us to do, to thoughtfully act. We get prompted by the Holy Spirit constantly. How many times do we actually listen to the Holy Spirit? So many times we get prompted to go there, but we do not choose to go there. He prompts us again to go that way. We choose not to go that way. Our lives would be so much richer if we simply went through those doors. Listen to our promptings. And if the Lord does not want us to go that way, he will close the door for us. But if we do not step through the door, we'll never find out what what our true meaning in this life will be. Secondly, wisdom from above. James 3:17, that the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceful, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and with hypocrisy. Ephesians 5:16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Redeeming the time, what does this part mean? God is instructing us to maximize each moment by taking advantage of every opportunity that God gives us. We need to pray and walk through each door. If God does not want us to be there, he will close those doors, as I've said. Because the days are evil. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. We don't need to look far to see this in our everyday life at the moment. The content of the teaching in our schools, the loss of governance over our children, the sex education that is promoted to our children in the schools, the perversion of gender equality and diverse opportunity. These things are rife in our community. They're rife in our life. We need to understand them so we can stand against them. We need to be able to pull our children out if we need to pull our children out. We need to stand up and make a stand. These things that are all planted in our schools at the moment. If you think back to the 1800s, Charles Darwin had a theory, and the ripple effect has just gone straight through everything now. We are now following all of Charles Darwin's things in the school, the evolution theory, rather than the God theory. It's amazing how many little things can ripple into huge things. So it is a concern at the moment with the content that is being delivered to all of our schools and the governance over our children. They will have ripple effects, and it's going to be going on for a very long time. I think what happens is there's not enough of us that are brave enough to stand up against it. Some people need a kick in the pants. I refer to it as a kick in the pants. You can't do that, actually, but around people anyway. You can do it to your own kids sometimes. But we need to call out those that aren't going with the way of the word. We need to do that in love. If we see a brother or sister going in the wrong direction, we need to be able to go to that person, pray with that person, tell the person what's going on. We need to be able to go to our neighbour and share with our neighbour the right from the wrong. But we first need to look at ourselves. As it says in Matthew 7:3-5, how can you say to your neighbour, let me take the speck out of your eye while the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your neighbour's eye. We need to be looking at ourselves first, then look at the people around us. But there is evil in this world. We know that because we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the Holy Spirit. With the Holy Spirit comes all the other spirits. Look out for them. Be on guard with them. Pray against them. And if you see your brother, if you see your sister departing, going on a different journey, then go along and actually help. Give them a kick in the pants if they need it. Don't be afraid to do that. They need to be guided. This is a real thing. It's not just a toy thing. I think a lot of people that come to church, you guys all excluded, of course, but come to church and they think that that's the tick on their box, that they've done what they need to do, and then on Monday they're straight back into doing all of the wrongs, all of the wrong language. They're happy just to carry on without actually understanding the consequences of what it is. So we need never forget the enemy is here to deceive, steal, destroy, and kill. John 10:10, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. There is always good news at the end of all good stories. We look at Joseph in the Bible. We all know the trauma he went through, being torn away from his family, the decisions his brothers made. They all needed a kick in the pants. But through lies and deception, they didn't get it. But, I mean, when Joseph finally got to that stage where they were bowing to him, asking him for forgiveness, asking him for the food to live, it took them to be humbled to actually go that way. We should be shaped by what the Bible says, what scriptures say, and the relevance to them today. How many people do you see that are changing the Bible to shape their own lives? This is very, very strong in a lot of churches nowadays. They are creating false gods that allows things to be done their way rather than God's way. So to recap, as we as individuals, we must be wise. Are we as individuals making the best use of our time? Is the church wise? As a corporate church that includes everyone here, are we making the most of our time? There's a lot of people here that do a lot of extra hours freely to reach the community, to go out into the community, and to have the community in here. I do believe that this church is very wise, and I do believe that they are doing the right things that are great in the community. They are bringing people into God and introducing them to God. Little seeds get planted in everybody. And those seeds, we never know the full effect of those seeds until, you know, sometimes many years later. We talk about the mustard seed. We all know the story that a mustard seed falls on the ground and how big it can grow. I think just being able to see people, pray with people, give them a hand, show them what we mean, show them what we can do for them, pray with them or pray for them. Some people you can't even pray with, they just reject it, but we can still pray for them. Do not be dismayed. Isaiah 41:10, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. Do not be fooled. It is written, because the days are evil. How do we go into battle against this? Philippians 4, verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything be prayerful and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be known to God. I have a request for my own children. My older children do not know the Lord. They know of him, but they have not accepted him. This is one way, this is one place that I know the Lord's promise, that when he says, let your request be known to him, he will be there for them. He will convert them. He will call them at some stage, because it is my prayer, and it is a good prayer. Ephesians 6:11. Put on the whole armour of God, that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. When we stand together, united as one, we can protect each other's backs. There's one place that the armour of God does not cover, and that is our backs. We go into battle, and everything is covered. So when it says two or three are gathered, there he'll be. You can watch each other's backs. You can guard against the enemy so much easier. What can we do on the ground? John 13, verse 34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. I'm going to finish off with a little story that I had just in the prayer room as I was moulding the hands, making the clay. Somebody else shared about two ships at the dock. One ship was a cruise ship. It had all of the food you could eat. It had all the hydro slides. It had everything on it. It had a wide gangplank. And people were going in droves with their luggage, taking everything onto this cruise ship. Then there was another ship in front of that. It was a frigate. It looked boring. It looked plain. Had a narrow plank. Had guns everywhere. And there was only a few people going. They were taking nothing with them. And the picture of this refers to the path that you take. Matthew 7, verse 14. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Now, this little image did not come through me. It came through another man. But it's so relevant today, how many people are taking all of their luggage, taking everything with them. They think the worldly possessions can go with them. And they're hopping on that cruise ship to have a good time. Don't do it. Go for the frigate. The frigate is life. And after the battles that we face here on this earth, we will be risen. We will be victorious. And through the Lord Jesus Christ, we will be risen again. I don't know how much time I have, but I think that is me. So listen, I'll just close in prayer. And I thank you for listening to me. If there's anybody here that needs a little bit more understanding of what I've shared, please come up and see us at the end of service. We are in a battle against good and evil. So, Father, just thank you for this time to be up here today. Thank you for your words to share. Thank you for all the scriptures. May they speak to whoever it is here in this congregation that needs to hear it. Father, that may they know the truth. May they live the truth and be blessed in every way that they possibly can be. Thank you for this opportunity, Lord. I just pray a blessing upon everyone here. In Jesus' name, amen.